So this week, we are taking a moment to thank our mothers by talking about the people we wish were our mothers.
This is why our mothers are so disappointed in us.
Next up, the mother your mother warned you about. Alice Cooper isn't a mother. He isn't even a woman, but as it turns out, he was a hell of a showman.
Alice joined us in 2013 and told us about how he and his band figured out their act back in the 1960s.
Well, you know, like every other band in the 60s, we learned how to play Beatles songs and Rolling Stone songs. I mean, that was all rock and roll 101. And then we just, you know, when we heard the Yardbirds and the Who, then we started stretching out and learning those songs. Added a little bit of Dracula in there and some West Side Story, and, you know, as long as we could get parents to hate us, we were just fine.
Really? So how did the whole Alice Cooper thing start? It wasn't your first band, and Alice Cooper was actually at first the name of the band?
Yeah, well, actually, the idea was, I just said we need a definitive villain in rock and roll, and that's got to be Alice Cooper, and I was more than happy to play that part. But in order to do that, you have to don't just play hit records. You have to have the image. You have to have the show built around it. And you have to pretty much annoy every parent organization in America.
Yeah.
But, to put it in perspective, here was the Summer of Love, and it was like, you know, all this la-la-la music. And these artists were really popular, but they were, you know, good-looking guys and good-looking gals and... And the outcasts, the weirdos, the my people had nothing to relate to. And then Alice Cooper comes out, and he's in a dress, and he's got makeup on, and he's screaming his heart out. And, you know, it was like a star-belly sneech finding the rest of the star-belly sneeches, you
yeah.
know. He was the hero of the outcasts, the weirdos, the losers. So
there was the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you know, 90%. I was glad to take the Outcast 10%.
Sure.
It ended up that the Outcast 10% was a lot more people than people realized.
And when did you start dying at the end of your shows?
Well, we figured that if you are a villain, I don't care if it's Shakespeare or Vampire Diaries, the bad guy needs to get it in the end.
Yeah.
You know, and we felt that Alice is playing the villain through the whole show. And there's baby parts flying and, you know, things. So that character needs to be punished.
I'm sorry, back up. Baby parts flying?
Well, sure.
You know, it wasn't really baby parts. It was doll parts.
Sure.
You know, but of course the audience, there was no internet then, so everything was word of mouth. And by the time it got back to mom and dad, they were live babies.
Yeah.
You know?
But in his defense, that baby was a jerk.
One of the most famous stories about you from pretty much when you started was that you once bit the head off a chicken on stage, or a live chicken.
Yeah, you know, and that was one of the great moments where I'm on stage. We went on between John Lennon and Yoko and the Doors, and 60,000 people at the Toronto Peace and Love.
Sure, of course. No better place to bite a head off a live chicken, but
right,
go on.
Well, you know, we had to bring some drama to it. And we're doing the very last song. We open up these pillows, these white pillows with CO2 cartridges, and two pillows will fill Madison Square Garden. It looks like a snowstorm up there.
Right.
I look down, and there's a white chicken on the stage. Now, I didn't bring the chicken, and nobody I know on stage brought it, but there he was. I'm from Detroit, okay? I've never been on a farm in my life. It had wings. It had feathers. It should fly. So I kind of tossed it into the audience, figuring somebody would take it home as a souvenir. And chickens don't fly as much as they plummet.
Yes.
And this is the Peace and Love Festival. Next day in the press, Alice Cooper kills chicken and drinks blood. Frank Zappa called me up. He was producing us at the time. And he says, "Did you kill a chicken on stage last night?" And I went, "No." And he says, "Well, don't tell anybody. They love it."
Well, Alice Cooper, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling.
So what if you had bit the head off that chicken?
Oh, great. I love it.
We know, we're willing to believe that you didn't really bite the head off that chicken, like you said. But if you had bit the head off that chicken, it might have gone on to fame and fortune, just like Mike the Headless Chicken did back in the 1940s. We're going to ask you three questions about the real, true story of Mike the Headless Chicken. Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Alice Cooper playing for?
Lyndon Alec of Bozeman, Montana.
Here we go. Mike the Headless Chicken was born, or reborn, I should say, as a headless chicken when his owner, Colorado farmer Lloyd Olson, got a little clumsy with his axe. What messed up the usually expert Mr. Olson? A, he was moved at the last minute by the beauty of this chicken. B, he was worried about impressing his mother-in-law. Or C, on the backstroke, he whacked himself on the butt and it threw off his aim.
Wow. Those are three really stupid answers. I would say number two.
And you'd be right. That's what happened. Although, what happened was his mother was coming for dinner. And this is in the days, of course, you didn't go down to the grocery store. You wanted the chicken. You went out. You picked up a chicken. You cut off his head. You cooked him for dinner. And he wanted to make sure that the chicken had a long neck because his mother liked chicken neck. And he
He
went a little bit long and left just enough head on that chicken that it still lived and became Mike the Headless Chicken.
Wow.
In an interview about Mike, who went on to fame and fortune as an amazing miracle, Farmer Lloyd said, which of these? A, you'd think he'd run around like, you know, a chicken with his head cut off. But he's quite graceful. B, I keep trying to make a mate for him, but they just die. Or C, he's a fine specimen of a chicken, except for not having a head.
I would say number three.
He's a fine specimen of a chicken, except for not having a head?
Right.
You're right. In fact, Farmer Lloyd is right. Mike the Headless Chicken grew to 8 pounds, not including his head, which was not included. All right. As I said, this bizarre creature became a huge hit at, you know, carnivals, sideshows, freak shows, that sort of thing. Became famous. There were pictures of him sold. Traveled all over the country. And people like to see him walk around and peck at the ground and flap his wings, even without a head. But he met his end in the same way many successful performers do. How? A, he was shot by an obsessed fan, who was also a somewhat hungry fan. B, he died in a motel room from overindulgence. Or C, complications during cosmetic surgery, specifically a headoplasty.
The first answer was what? He did.
He was shot by an obsessed fan who was also a little hungry.
No, that never happened.
Right.
I'd say number three.
You're going to go complications during cosmetic surgery, a headoplasty?
Yeah.
No, the answer was B, on tour. He was staying at a motel in the Arizona desert. He got hungry in the middle of the night, tried to swallow a grain of corn, and choked because he was a headless chicken.
There's a song there somewhere, and I think I may have to write it.
Absolutely. You're the man. Bill, how did Alice Cooper do in our quiz?
Well, I got two right. Alice, congratulations on that. Two out of three.
Wow. Well done. Alice Cooper, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What a pleasure to talk to you.